Today's Perek in Tanakh is Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chet. Vayi kasher zaken Shmuel, and so it was, as Shmuel aged, and could no longer travel around his circuit courts as he did when he was younger. Lamaisa, he never got old in terms of age, because according to Chazal, he died at 52, and that's before Zikna. So that it must be that he actually, even though the maisa of his getting old was because of his insistence on maintaining his connection to Shaul, instead of accepting the fact that Shaul needed to be replaced. But apparently this was a process that began early, so that he began to age young. And so, Vayasem et banav shoftim li Yisrael, he appointed his children to all be shoftim, to take his place. Vayishem benoah b'chor Yoel, v'shem mishneu aviyah. And they were shoftim bebe'er shava, which automatically tells us that they weren't circuit court judges. They had a place already. Yep, they had a place in Be'er Shava, which by definition means v'lo olchu banav bedrachav. Now this is lamaisa, a kiyum of the curse of Eli. Eli had said, and we learn out from here that even though he had said it out tonight, but when a Talmud Chacham says something, I feel all tonight it's mitkayim. He said, "Koya selachal, God should give you the same thing if you don't tell me." Even though Shmuel told him everything, but the same getter that about obviously doesn't mean mamish the same thing, but the same getter that it was said about Eli that his sons went in a bad path. Here it says, "V'lo alchu banav bedrachav, v'yitu achrei habatza." Now here too, it sounds like these guys are horrible people and so on. And they went after the batza, but chazal or medayik. V'lo alchu banav bedrachav is a little bit ridiculous. You don't have to say they didn't go in the drachim of Shmuel. I mean, then you're saying that they were rishoyim. It's not they weren't going. V'lo alchu bedrachav is not the point. Must be, therefore, that lo alchu banav bedrachav is the point. He used to actually go on the road all the time. They didn't go on the road. Why didn't they? It means literally. It's a remes to literally. The very fact that they set up shop in Be'er Sheva. Why did they set up shop in Be'er Sheva? Well, because that way you can have an office, you can have secretaries, and you can have like a whole thing. And so that's betza, basically. Not seeing to it that you go around and present yourselves to the baladinim and make certain that the mishpat is done. Because of the fact that you like having an office and a big courtroom and so on and so forth. Lahar b'schar sefreyem is the lashon of Chazal. That's already the equivalent, compared to Shmuel, that's the equivalent of Sheikhad and Atayas Mishpat. And they no longer could trust them. The whole point that Shmuel had done was the hemshech of the work of Elkanah, his father, making certain that the Techinuch came and Mishpat came to every last place in Yisrael. And they didn't follow. The bigger the office, the more people you have, the more gophers, the bigger the canteen, the more phone systems, you get a BlackBerry. I mean, it's all very chashev. So this becomes the perks. Now the perks become chashev. For a shayfet to be interested in perks is atayas mishpat. The idea over here today that shofet with his Volvo, forget it. It's by definition not a shofet. There's a chazal that says, it's Shana Be'er Sheva. It's Be'er Sheva. Was the place where they would have the commercial fairs. So they wanted to be near the center of commerce. That's why they have to concentrate on dinim, not on being involved in making money on the side. So Mimela, once already the vision was to be in Be'er Sheva. No, forget it. Yeah, exactly. Now, you want to get a sense, it's a pella, you want to get a sense of how subtle the so-called vaitu achrei habatza is. It's a very tricky Gemara. Abaye speaks about the Gemara. There's a Gemara that says that vaitu achrei habatza could mean that, according to one man, the Amar, that they would ask people to invest money for them. But since they were the shayftim, it already makes them now involved. You know, so there's a conflict of interest. That conflict interest already is considered to be vayitach, but even though it never came to Chas v'Shalom, hatayas mishpat. How could they have relationships with people that are ultimately going to probably end up in court one day? So that was a terrible thing. Others learn that it means chalkam shalu b'fiyam. They asked for the matanos. They asked for meiser. They asked. Since they asked, so the people felt. I mean, that's shaykh that they asked. But I could give it to somebody else. So they would give it to them. So listen to this Meredith thing tomorrow. Abaya says, Abaya was a kohen. So Abaya says, Mireish have chatif ta matanta. When a kid would go walking along with the matanis, I would grab it from him because amina chivu ve mitzvah. I did it on purpose. I wasn't even interested. I did it on purpose to show what a chavivus it is for kohen to take the matanis. Then I heard that they were bederish, that it says dafke v'natsam l'kein. So v'natsam, that means you shouldn't be chaytif. It requires an actual, so then I wouldn't be chaytif anymore. So chatif nalave chatifta. But meimar amri, I would say to people, give it to me. Because I held that was the chavivus ha-mitzvah, right? Kiman de shaman alahad, the tanya vayato achrei abotza by Shmuel. Rabbi Meir, Aim Rabbanei Shmuel, chelkam shalu b'fiyem. So now I didn't do that either. Meimar nami lo ami. You understand, Abaye, before he was aimed on how it is that we defined what it was that they had done, did the same thing, thinking that it was a tremendous mitzvah. So you can understand, you're saying l'hol chuban of bedrochav, we're talking about an extremely subtle point. But since we've reached a darga in which Yisrael expects now perfection, and they realize now that the destruction of Shiloh, as we saw yesterday, they were vayinaru achrei Hashem. It was the perfection of Shmuel that attracted them. That was the whole point. Until that time, there's always something strange about what was going on. They couldn't really, as Lamaisa HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Eli, people are cursing you guys. There's no trust in the institution. So so it's a Mishkan. You think that makes it hot stuff? People were not looking at it with COVID. People were not looking at the Aaron with COVID. And it took a long time to reestablish that COVID. Who was the one that reestablished it? Shmuel with the Maisa with the Aaron and the Maisa with the Plishtim. But the moment that Shmuel now himself is too weak to establish that level of absolute nemanis, people lost faith in the institutions again. So therefore, vayitkapsu kozik ne Yisrael, vayavola Shmuel aramata. So now all of the Zakenim came to Shmuel in Rama. They told him, look, you know, the situation's not good. In Ne'atazaka, this is also an amazing thing. I mean, we never found such a thing before. Someone should come over by Eli. Nobody came over and said, your kids are no good. We need to change the system. This is a tremendous development. It was all part of what Shmuel had created, a situation where people could come to him and tell him, your kids stink. No, that's a fantastic madrega. I mean, that people felt that's what he would want. So atazakanta, look, you've gotten too old to be able to deal with things yourself. Uvanecha lo ochlu bedrachacha. Your sons are not following your path. The only etzah that we have is we have to have now a political structure. Atasima lanu melech l'shofteinu kechol hagoyim. We're going to have to basically learn to live without these kind of personal type of things. This is all personal. And here we see, when it has to do with personal, it's like a chassidus. The first Rebbe may be great. By the time you get to the third generation, everybody wants out. That kind of thing is not going to work. So what we need is, we need a melech.
The same thing happens in business, where the
fall, absolutely.
And then the kid takes over, and it's not quite the same. It's not the same way, but we do it the same way, and it tends to kind of heal out.
Yeah, okay, there are other issues also that are involved, but over here in terms of the yashrus, of a personal yashrus, how is that going to, there can't be a shoshalta de Shmuel, that this is a dynasty. Dynasties are dangerous. The only way dynasties aren't dangerous is where they don't claim their kayach from the fact of the godless of the person, but rather they claim their kayach from the expression of the people. And that's a malchus, and that's what we need. The people, the nation. So we need a melech. No more personal. The whole period of Shoftim, everything was personal. They've reached a stage now, and of course, this is the stage in a sense that we've been waiting for. It's just, as the Sifri points out, premature. The reason it's premature, we'll have to discuss in a moment, but this is a stage, ultimately, that was really the first mitzvah that's supposed to be done when you come into Eretz Yisrael. So there's three mitzvahs. The appointing of a king, the Mechia of Amalek, and then building a Beis HaMikdash. So now, almost four centuries until the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash is going to be close to five centuries that will have passed. A lot of time has passed, and none of this has been done. Why? Because it was premature, and Lamaisa, the people have not been ready for this moment. So this is the first time that we see not only the incipient ask, the need for Malchus, we saw before, the Avimelech story, and the fact that people wanted maybe Gidon to be a Melech, and his children should be a Melech. I mean, there was obviously a sense of need to have someone in charge. But this is a whole different thing. This is something that has reached a point where the nation is mature, and they've come to accept that it's possible to have an Am that is Kodesh LaHashem, that is Helech Bedrochov, and it needs to be that there's a Melech, because a Melech expresses now the Am instead of the personality of the Shofet.
Which is a personal.
The Shofet was personal, and Malchus is impersonal.
It's national.
Yeah. So Memela, we want you to appoint a Melech, and look, other nations manage with a Melech, right? Yes, we're not stupid. We understand the breakdowns that occur with Malchus, that people indeed tend to make it personal and try to take it for themselves and end up messing up. But Lemaisa, this is the best form of government. It works all over the world. It's Kekol HaGoyim. If this is what has been settled upon in general, apparently it's worth the risks. Vayera hadavar b'nei Shmuel kasher amru tnananu melech l'shoftim. This Shmuel felt was a terrible thing when they said, give us a king to be shofet us. Vayitpalil Shmuel al Adonai, and he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, feeling very tzibrach. Now clearly he experienced this as personal rejection. And indeed we'll see in the next pasuk. Vayomer Adonai al Shmuel, Shema b'kol ha'am l'kol asher yomru elecha. Listen to them, whatever they're saying. Kilot chamas. Wait, you think it's you? Is that you? It's me. The only reason they don't like you is because you're so close to me. But don't take it personally. They love you. It's me they can't stand. It's always been this way. From the moment b'yom ha'aloti otam ha'mitzrayim v'ad hayom hazeh, the better I am to them, the more they want out. Vayazvuni, vayavdu alavim acherim, shekini mosim gam lach. So now it's just like it's spilling over into you, but you really shouldn't take this too personally. You've just been too good. So viata shema bekolam. So listen to what they want. Achya eta idbayam. But I want you to make it very clear to them what the mishpat of the melech will be. This is called basically the mishpat hamelech. Now that Shmuel is going to lay out to them. That you have to know what you're accepting if you want a melech. So you have to tell them this is the parshas hamelech, the mishpat hamelech asher yimloch aleihem. They need to know. Vayomer Shmuel it kol divrei Adonai al ha'am asher alim mi'ito melech. And so Shmuel indeed said all the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, to the people that were asking for the melech. Now, of course, this is an extremely, extremely complex and confusing subject. I mean, we know that it says Beferish in the Pasuk, that Vayaki Tavo, you're going to come into Eretz Yisrael, Ve'amarta Asim Alai Melech Kechol HaGoyim, it says Beferish in the Pasuk, the same exact language that they use, Kechol HaGoyim. Som Tasim Alecha Melech, indeed you should do that, and it's a mitzvah in the Torah. So I understand, so what's he upset about if it's a mitzvah in the Torah? What exactly did they do wrong? And this is Lamaisa. A tremendous discussion in the Gemara and in the Midrashim, and basically there's a number of different approaches. Perhaps one approach is that it's the Amei Aretz that they wanted now that the Melech should be Yotzei, as we'll see later, to take them out to war, but the Zakenim themselves said the Shofteinu. It's a problem because that's all we see in the beginning. Is the Lashon of L'Shofteinu. So what would be so terrible about that? I mean, if L'Shofteinu should be right. So the Lashon of the Sifri is they were Higdimu. They did this too early. So the Higdimu was the reason that it was considered. It doesn't explain the Sifri what it means. Higdimu. Higdimu Ayadam is the Lashon. It doesn't say what that means, Higdimu Ayadam. So the Malvim is Masbir. In his Pirish on the Sifri, on his Pirish in Shmuel, that the Igdimu Ayadam means that the development to a Malchus was dependent on an additional level of maturation that had not been reached. Why? Because it was clear that during this entire period, they were still in the magical state. Because Lamaisa, they were able to defeat the Plishtim Shloapi Derech HaTeva. This was the final milchama of Mehuma. We find that Shmuel's presence, the presence itself, caused the presence of the Shekhinah. And that whatever he would say, miracles were a dime a dozen, basically. It was not a time to look for Hanhaga al Pi HaTeva when they had a Madrega of Shmuel there, which is why Shmuel took it personal. So Enoch Inami says the Malbim, had they said, bring us a melech to enforce your mishpat. Bring us a melech to see to it that the people will all come to court and that there will be courts in every place, and so on and so forth. So then that would have been fine, understands the Malbim. Okay, now my approach, yeah, and therefore...
As opposed to his sons?
No, as opposed to saying, let him take the place. Let him be shofteinu, as if now your mishpat is no longer nogea. So if they would have viewed the melech as being the kli that will provide for Shmuel's hashpa, that's one thing. But to replace him by saying shofteinu is why indeed he took it personally. I'm still with you, and you want a melech. I mean, that, you know, you wait until I die, fine. So this is the approach of Chazal. I personally have an approach which it deals with the issue at a completely different level. The pasuk introduces the mitzvah of Simas Melech with a very strange introduction. So you will say, let me make a melech, a simalai melech, som tasim alacha melech. What do you mean you will say? So then do it. Just say, do it. Don't say, you will say, then do it, right? The whole pasuk doesn't make any sense. Whoever heard of a mitzvah, if you'll say, so then do it. Either it is a mitzvah or it isn't a mitzvah. So you see that the Torah is defining the circumstances that are necessary for this mitzvah to take place. It has to be that you're saying, Asim alai melech kekol haguyim. Right. That's where it has to come from. Now, the very fact that you ask Shmuel to make the melech is the problem. And therefore, we find that Shmuel again and again says that's the problem. He says to them, as we'll see, will be Bedaya. You should never have asked for a melech. You should never have asked for a melech, because it's not about asking. It's about a natural process. What's the name of the melech? The asked for one. Shaul. So the point is that if you're going to ask for a melech, you're only going to get an artificial melech, which is the other meaning of Shaul. You're only going to borrow the kingdom, because it's not real. So by asking me to appoint a melech on you, you've completely missed the whole idea. Why? Because the nature of the idea of Malchus, and this clearly they understood. Yes, because otherwise what are they saying? Therefore appoint a melech, that's going to be better, it's going to be worse. I mean, why in the world would they think a melech with all the additional power is better than having Shmuel? At least they can replace a shofet, and it's not like an earth-shattering civil war. You don't like the shofet, you'll find another shofet. Isn't it better to have shoftim if your consideration is that lebanecha lo'ochu b'drachecha? Instead, you're going to put yourself in a position where you're going to be stuck with the guy. I mean, it's insane. Unless, as I mentioned earlier, unless the point is that they recognize that the relationship between the Am and the Melech is always going to be more definitive than the personal leadership of a sheikh. So in other words, it's clear that even though there will be breakdowns, because it takes time until it catches up, and it's not mechanical, it's an emergent relationship, and therefore it can't be really instantaneous, because emergent things take time to emerge, by definition. It's a process. But it's safer for the Am to be expressing itself through a melech, rather than to have a cult of personnel. That becomes cultish. And with the Maaser, we see that. We see what happens to groups in Klal Yisrael that are led by personality. It's always a disaster, especially when it becomes a banecha. It doesn't matter how great the personality is, it's by definition destructive. It ends up being destructive. You see, today, the very fact that the leader is a personality destroys the people that follow him. It's just that is the focus of the interrelationship. It deprives the Am instead of giving to the Am. So they understood this. Their cheshbon was that it's better to ask. Because if you ask, so then you're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should choose, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should appoint. And at least in that sense, we don't entertain the dangers of Malchus. What are the real dangers of Malchus? The real dangers of Malchus are Minus, as the Gemara says. Because Malchus and Minus are basically the same thing. Since Malchus is an emergent expression of an Am, it loses all connection to anything external. It's the way in which we self-organize. The way in which you self-organize is a complete bubble. And therefore, you can end up believing anything. In the end, Minos, Amalek, this whole approach, which is why the first thing Malchus has to do is fight Amalek. Because Malchus and Minos are almost the same. Self-organization is what is meant by Minos. It's as if we exist in this little bubble, and we don't need connection to anything else. This is what happens to the Malchus ultimately. As Menashe ends up telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do we really need you for? We need you for light. We can generate light through atomic power. We have Avonim that generate energy. We don't need you. That is exactly what they wanted to avoid. So you'll come now, you'll tell Shmuel, let HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose the Melech, and therefore we'll know that we're dependent in Malchus Shamayim, and that way we'll have more connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, Lamaisa, this was a tremendous mistake, because you have much less connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through anything that is enforced from the outside. The pagam of all of the brisos, the pagam in creation itself, was the fact that it's experienced as something coming from the outside. So that Moshe Rabbeinu has to beg a million times over, this is about you, it's not about anybody else. Lo davar reku michem, ki hu chayecha. It's lo tov lanu kol hayamim, this is not impositions, don't you understand? This is you, it's your only opportunity to be yourself. The moment that you view it as something that has to be asserted from outside, you end up destroying the very basis of it. Because the truth is, Malchus Shamayim itself is only ultimately what is expressed among the Nevroim's own Hakora of what that Malchus is Mechayim. So either it's the recognition that as an Am, your Melech is the expression of the presence of the Shekhinah inside of you personally, or you're missing the boat and you're asking for some kind of insane Malchus, which is perfectly okay for Goyim, but which is not for you. So if your Melech is the expression of your Ummah Shaft, the way that it is in other countries, so then the very fact that you are who you are means that the Malchus that emerges from you is a Malchus that ends up bringing Geula. But the moment that you treat it as if it's something that can be opposed from outside, it's a Malchus that's going to go to hell, basically. Because in the end, it'll be misused, because it isn't coming from you. You can't both have what you claim to be a Malchus that is self-expressive while it's coming from somewhere else. That makes no sense.
Shmuel is somewhere else.
And Shmuel, coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is somewhere else. Therefore, the problem is, Shmuel says, why do you ask? The point of Malchus is, you're saying Asim Alai Melech? Then go ahead. But if you're saying you be Sam Alai Melech, do not go ahead. Stop right there. Because that's a sure sign that you are not developing Malchus. And that, I think, is the true underlying issue that is going on over here. And that's the real immaturity of the Hakdama that we're talking about. That they did this prematurely. And that was prematurely. Lamaisa. It's because of this that the Me'isa that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you should know that it's me that they're Me'is in. Where was their Me'isa? This is itself Mo'us. They're saying we detest it. Yes, you're going through, you're saying all the right words, but ultimately, you're saying that this is something that is not part of me. And if it's not part of me, you end up vomiting it out. Yeah, it means that Malchus Shamayim. This Chazal learned the three things that Klal Yisrael was Me'is in. Malchus Shamayim, Malchus Beis David, and the Beis Hamikdash. And until they end up begging for the three things that they were Me'is in, they're not going to have them. And what we don't realize is that this is still true. Now, people talk about, we want Mashiach now, which is exactly in the sense of Me'isa. There's no sense of it coming from inside. It's only coming from outside. So because of that, this becomes now the basis of the entire problem. So that even though it's a mitzvah, they were nenshu b'bei Shmuel, mipnei she'ikdimu al yadam. That's his lashon. They simply did it too early. So Shmuel sees this and sees it properly as a loss of connection to his darga of mishpat, because they want to substitute another shefet. That's what it boils down to. They want to call him a melech. That's irrelevant. And so he said over all of the Divrei Hashem. So here's what he said. Vayomer, and so he says to the people, Ze yihyeh mishpat ha-melech asher yimloch aleichem. Let's get it straight, what this king is going to be capable of doing to you guys, okay? Et b'neichem yikach v'sam lo b'merkavto v'rotzu lifnei merkavto. He has the right to actually conscript your children, even for personal things. They'll be the runners in front of his grand merkava. Isn't that great? Velasum lo sare alafim, visare kamishim, velacharosh karisho, velikzor ktsiro. He can appoint them to take care of his estates and to do his work for him. Velasor klei melchamto, veklei rechbo. So, you know, your kids, you can forget about sending them to Harvard, you know. They're going to be ending up working in the foundry for the king. You like that? You like that kind of draft? Now, obviously, this means la halacha. He can do this. We learn he can do, but he has to pay. This is not a free job. But he has a right to insist that these are the people that he wants, and then he pays them. Ve'et benoteichem yikach l'rakachot, l'tabachot, l'ofot. Want to put on a little baking uniform on your nice little daughter there? Because she'll be working in the palace. Ve'et sedotechem, ve'et karbechem, ve'zeitechem atovim yikach, v'natan la'avadav. Look, you know, he's say eminent domain. And he can take out a lien on your things, and he'll give now to his avodim v'zarechem v'charechem yasor. He has a right to take a maaser to take from your produce v'natam v'sarisav la'avadam v'et avdechem v'et shivchotechem v'et bachurechem atovim v'et chamorechem yikach. So ye will take every good thing that you wanted to keep for yourself. It's all mishubat to him. And he can even vasalim lachto. He can even use it for his personal needs. So nchem yaso vatem tiyulo lavadim. And what this means ultimately is that you will be avadim to him. You're going to be happy with that. Let me tell you, the day will come uzaaktem abayom omi lifnei malkechem asher bachartem lachem. You will be crying out not from your enemies that you think the king is going to save you from. You're going to be crying out to me because of the very fact that you've got this king. That's what you're going to be crying about. And don't come to me, because I can tell you, nobody's going to be interested in responding to your moans when it comes to that. Behold, you are warned. They absolutely refused to listen to what it is that he was saying, because they basically understood that that's what they were getting into. But they said, but Lamai said that's what works. It works all over the world. We understand the drawbacks. We're not stupid. And we're being macabre this. And they Vayomru lo. It seems that they were actually interrupting the discussion. No, we want a king. King Melech Yalenu. We don't care what you're saying. We know all of this. Thank you, Shmuel. It's been nice knowing you. Yes, yes. Now, what's his name? We're not going to be any worse off than anybody else. Look, right now we need miracles. We need you. You come out there. And you know, it's a hassle having miracles. I mean, you have to do tshuva. You got to keep up. And if you're not in the right madriga, you get instantly killed. And we can't handle this. We'd much rather have a nice, relaxing life with some Messiah to take care of things. And therefore, let him go out v'nilcham et milchamotenu. Vayishma Shmuel et kol divrei ha'am, and so Shmuel understood that there's nothing he's going to say that's going to make any kind of difference. And that's also what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, L'chol asher yomrei lecha. Listen to everything. Listen to the underlying intonations. Listen to how they're speaking. Vayidabrein bozne Hashem, and he viewed that apparently as a shlichas. So when Hashem said to him, listen, he didn't mean listen do. He meant, listen, I want you to be able to report to me how you hear what they're saying. And so he says them over at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayomer Adonai al Shmuel, fine, if this is what they want, Shma bekolam, v'imlach talan melech. This time, listen to them and do what it is that they're asking for. Vayomer Shmuel anshei Yisrael, okay, we get the message. L'chu ish li'iro, go back to your cities and wait for the event to come.